with love to us incline. The Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers to his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instruction: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You receive without payment, give without payment." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you,
O Christ. You may be seated. My sermon today is actually a question, the title of it. And that question is, what are you worried about? Well, in this day and age, I think everybody has their mind on the pandemic, but there's a whole lot more to be worried about than that. But that question also leads us to two more questions. Not only what are you worried about, but that leads us to ask, what is it you want out of life? And that question leads us to the next question: what are you willing to do for it? These are questions that had to be answered by the early Hebrew people as they were coming in the wilderness after leaving Egypt. The question, what we worried about, well, they were worried, first of all, about Pharaoh. But Pharaoh was put an end to in the Red Sea by God. Then they began to worry about, where are we going to get our water? But God provided water for them. What are we going to eat? God provided manna and quail. What are we going to do when the snakes bite us? God provided a way of bringing healing to them. Well, the question they had to answer after they decided what they were worried about was, what do we want to do? What's our ultimate goal? Their ultimate goal was the promised land. That's where they wanted to be. That's where they wanted to go. And then the question comes, well, what are you willing to do to get there? And they answer that question in the first reading today. When Moses comes down from the mountain and gives them all of their instructions, they say, "All that the Lord has said, we will do." Well, the apostles were in much the same boat. Their worry was not only the Romans, who could arrest them for not worshiping the emperor and either string them up or crucify them or throw them to the lions. That was a real worry. They were also worried about the fellow Jews, who considered them a bunch of heretics and would just as soon stone them as pay much attention to them. They were also worried about an inner group within the early church who were teaching false doing some false teaching. They were saying, for instance, you know, grace is free. God gives us grace all the time. And the more we sin, the more grace God provides for us. Therefore, eat, drink, and be merry, and have a great time. The more you sin, the more God's grace is going to be showered on you. And of course, Paul had to say, no, that's not the way it works. That's cheap grace. That's not the grace for which Jesus Christ died. No, instead, we need to take the narrower path. And it may involve some suffering. But we know that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us. One of my oldest seminary professors was Dr. Flack. He was 94 years old. And, you know, most people would say, well, a 94-year-old guy, what's he going to teach you? But he was our best professor. To be honest with you, he had as much life as all of them. To give you an idea, he was afraid that he was becoming senile. Now, we could never have proved it by any of the things he taught us. He would get up extra early every morning. Every morning he would memorize a chapter of the Bible in Hebrew. Then he would memorize a chapter of the Bible in Greek. And then he would memorize a chapter of the Bible in Latin. And then he'd take a little walk, which was probably about 2 or 3 miles every morning. Now in Minneapolis, believe me, in the middle of winter, that's not a time you want to take a walk, but he would do it. Take his cane and walk very carefully. And that was when he would recite the entire catechism, just to keep his mind fresh. And Dr. Flack had a favorite saying, especially if some of the guys had been out too late the night before, he would say, you can't soar with the eagles if you're out with the owls at night. And it was his way of saying, if you really want to be God's person, you have to put yourself into it. You can be worried about all these things, but if you haven't set your mind on what you really want to accomplish, nothing's going to happen. For the early disciples, they knew that they wanted to follow Jesus all the way to the throne of God. And there was only one way to do it. It was not the loose and easy. It was the narrow and hard path that it sometimes takes. There is a song that Julie Andrews sang in The Sound of Music. Now, she changed the words to it dealing with aging. And her favorite things were like Botox and nose drops. Well, I thought, well, if she can change it to that, I could change it a little bit for the purpose of a sermon. So here is the way it works. There are some people who have said over the years, many times over, that it's too bad Christians today are not as committed to their God as football fans are to their football teams. Now, this is no kidding. I had a member, came to my church in Springfield, Missouri, and when I went to visit them, they said, they were from Nebraska originally, so we had a lot in common. And they were Cornhusker fans. They said, now, you have to remember, Pastor, we are true Cornhusker fans. We go to every game, no matter where it is. They had this huge RV, and they would either take that, or if they couldn't take the RV, they would get plane tickets and fly wherever it was. Every weekend. So they said, don't expect to see us in church in football season. I know of others who will go and they'll go to games and sit on hard benches and in snow and rain and almost a blizzard conditions because they're so dedicated to that team. Meanwhile, there are those who complain if the pew cushions are not soft enough, or if the temperature in the sanctuary isn't perfect. You get the point. Sometimes we've gotten so sloppy about how dedicated we are to worshiping our Lord God. Well, this song may deal with that too, especially in this area.
Golfing and fishing and barbecue grilling, boating and cycling and picnics are thrilling, swimming and tubing the rivers and streams. These are a few of my favorite things. Sweet time and fun time and family excursions, making the most of our tree swing and cushions, papers to read and heroes to cheer. I don't need God, I think I just need my rest. But when the surgeon calls, when my money's gone, when my time has come, I simply remember my Sunday mistakes, and then I know I needed God.
Well, the disciples were not hooked on fishing, football, or any of that. They knew that their job was to go out and proclaim the word. Jesus taught them how to do it by actually showing them how to heal, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. And then he sent them out to do the same. And they knew that their purpose in life was to do that, even if it involved suffering, because suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. A young man by the name of Kazan lived in India. In fact, he was, as a boy, he became friends with the son of a missionary there. Kazan, his family was Hindu, and therefore he couldn't go to the Christian school. But he would sneak off on Sunday mornings and go to church with his friend. And he became so involved in studying what it meant and what Jesus had done for people that he wanted to become a Christian. When he told his family, they were furious. They'd been Hindus all their lives. That's all they ever needed to be. They kicked him out of the house. In fact, they disowned him from the family. But Kazan continued to study and became a tremendous evangelist. So much so that he even converted his own family. He had asked the question what he was worried about. He was worried about salvation. In Hindu belief, there is kind of a nebulous understanding of what nirvana and all of that's about. But in Christianity, he learned there is more to it than that. What he wanted was what the disciples were sharing, what his friends were sharing, what Jesus was offering. He wanted to enter the kingdom of God, to be at the throne of God. And what was he willing to do for it? He was willing to give everything, no matter how uncomfortable it was. That's what God calls us to do. God calls us to be his body in the world. It may not be comfortable. We may have to go through some things we really don't appreciate. But in the end, what are you worried about? What do you really want? And what are you willing to put into it? Those are our questions. So may God give us the courage and the strength to lead us to where we really want to be. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.